gente, welcome to another episode of El ADN Podcast, where every week we sit down with the movers and shakers of our culture for an honest and intimate conversation about their career journey, including all the challenges and failures they've overcome to reach their current success. I'm your host, Victoria Leandra. Meet Valeria Del Rey, the woman behind La Gota and professor at Miami's Instituto Marangoni. The Puerto Rican designer launched her brand in September 2020, prioritizing sustainable swimsuits and organic CBD sun care products. After working at Tom Ford and Oscar de la Renta, she's now helping you rediscover your own wardrobe through her styling services. Valeria, welcome to El ADN Podcast. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Let's start from the beginning. When you take a look at your life right now, do you step back and say, I've always wanted to do this?
This is a great question because I think that you caught me in a transition point. I began my journey when I was 21. So I was pretty young. And I think that the Valeria of now, who's a little bit wiser and older, is going through some changes. So I always knew that I look at my life and I say, I'm on the right track, but I still have a long way to go.
Give us a little bit of background. How old are you?
I'm 28 now. I never think it's too late. Even now in my career, I've been very successful within the swimwear industry. I began my journey, as I said, at 21. I started it as a hobby, and the inexperience really helped me getting here. But now I sometimes miss it. I wish I had that nonchalant spirit in me, which I kind of do.
A lot of times we start things as a hobby and then not really pay attention to it because, again, it's just something that we do in our spare time. It's beautiful to start something without putting too much pressure on it, I feel like.
Yeah, coming from Puerto Rico, it has always been a passion of mine. I always struggled when I was younger in high school finding the right swim because I have always had a very particular style. And I wanted to feel that my style was coming across when I was going to the beach. It wasn't just about wearing a bikini and looking sexy. It was about really showing my personality and bringing that fashion style that I have in real life into the beach. And that's what I created with La Gota. It began with that passion and then slowly developed into being a business and a full-time job. Yes.
When you first began La Gota, what lesson did someone give you when you were just starting that has stuck with you throughout this time?
When I began La Gota, I was so scared because I had a full-time job in New York. In my mind, my parents wanted me to have a more traditional career. They just wanted me to have like a steady income and take, you know, that stability into consideration. But that's what I thought that they wanted for me. So I was very embarrassed at the beginning. I didn't tell anyone that I was doing the brand. I was so secretive about it and protective of it because any feedback really hurt my feelings because it was something that I really wanted. And I think that tends to happen when you really value and want something. And it's especially something that, you know, like with fashion and designing, it's a part of me. It's an extension of me. So I was so protective of it. And I think that with my parents, when I came to them and told them, hey, I'm doing this, and the brand was already selling swimsuits, and they already knew through other people. And when they told me, it's such a simple, we just want you to do what makes you happy. And we know that you have the capability and the personality and all of the tools to succeed. And I know it's not like an actual advice, but that reassurance coming from people that I admire and that I love was more like 10 times better than any advice that anyone can give me. I think that I've always had admiration for both of my parents being entrepreneurs. And I always felt a little bit intimidated. And maybe that's why I was so secretive, because I knew they were so wise and they were going to have so much feedback and experience to give me. But in a way, I just wanted to do it for myself. I think that I have a vision for things that a lot of people don't have. How my brain works and how I see life is completely different to my close circle, let's say, to my husband, to my family. Like something that I've developed throughout the years is like a lot of confidence and trust in myself. It's very important to listen to your gut and really follow your instinct, because you might have a vision for something that another person can't see. There's so many entrepreneurs out there. There's so many people trying to do stuff. And I think that the only companies that will actually succeed is when you're doing something different and you're building something that is either providing a product that it doesn't exist or solving a problem.
I have a lot of follow-up questions, but I want to start with one that I think a lot of us can resonate with. I love something that you say, and it's that you don't let anyone else into your brainstorming because your vision is your vision and not someone else's, and that you've learned to listen to yourself. How did you get that connection with yourself?
The first thing is that through my mental health journey, I suffer from anxiety. I have PTSD, and I was in a very huge depression last year. And even though I was very successful in certain aspects of my life, I still wasn't successful in that area, in understanding and getting to know myself and accepting who I am with my mental health and not seeing it as an obstacle or as something negative. Just really coming into terms and accepting that it's part of me and it's something that I'm going to have to work with every day. So if you're a person that suffers with mental health, or if you're one that does not, if you do, you know that it makes you more aware, self-aware and vulnerable. You're very in touch with what you're thinking, what you're feeling. If you don't suffer from mental health, which is the case with my husband, he's a person that has never had stress or anxiety in his life. I don't even know how that's possible. He goes through life in such a pragmatical manner that sometimes confuses me. So we are complete opposites, which is very good, but very challenging sometimes, in all honesty. But it really makes you understand that it's important to surround yourself with people that have a different way of approaching life. So see, like, I don't allow him in my brainstorming process, but I do watch him from afar and I admire him and I respect him. And I take what serves me of his life lessons and his way of operating through life, and I try to implement them in my brainstorming. I think that my practices through my mental health journey became to, you know how you have masculine and feminine energy? My personality is a very masculine dominated energy. I'm in the doing. So I've implemented being in the feminine energy in the being. I've always thought that it was like in my previous to my mental health journey, you would have asked me, I would have been like, meditation, it does not exist. People are full of shit. Even this morning, I woke up quickly, my coffee, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to do this and that. And I had to step back and be like, okay, I need to stay in the being. What is Valeria feeling? How can I just enjoy my walk to my workout this morning without running to my workout? And I saw so many people around me, like the crosswalk wasn't even in walk and they were throwing themselves because they clearly were late or something. And that's when you realize everybody's on the go and you're not taking time to really listen to what's going on. And if you do, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I've came across like a couple of ones lately that I've heard 5 times already, but I have them on repeat. One is A Return to Love. And okay. Then the other one, which is more spiritual. And then the other one is The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women. And it talks about imposter syndrome. And I like having these on repeat, like while I'm doing the dishes, while I'm working, because even though I'm not paying attention, I grasp a little quote during the day and it sticks with me. So that's 2 things that I've been doing. I like listening to podcasts, but I like paying attention to them because it's a little bit different. So with these audiobooks, and what I love, for example, with The Return to Love, I have a friend, Barbie, she recommended it to me. She has a lot of feminine energy. And I love that she recommended this book because this book reminds me that I, of course, I want to be successful. Of course, I need to find that investment. I need to be on the go and strategize and have that business side of me present. But it reminds me that I started this journey because I had a love and a passion for swimwear, for my style, mm-hmm. from having a voice, from, you know, from creating. And the book really resonates with me every time, that tells me every time that you have to make a decision, just make the decision that, like, this is so simple. Mm. The decision that seems that you're making out of love, not out mm-hmm. of spite, not out of ego, no, out of I want to be more or have more, mm. is to go back and act out of love.
I also feel like I have a lot of masculine energy in me, and I'm learning to exude feminine energy, but I love that. And that's a concept that I wasn't familiar with, just like making decisions out of love as opposed to out of ambition in a way, right? Yes. You said something that I want to go back to, and it's that do what you love and the money will follow. And I want to talk a little bit more about the business side of La Gota. When you first started, how much did you have? How much did you have save, or how much did you invested? And then what was your first move to start the brand, the company?
When I started La Gota, I started it with other business partners. So I found, let's say, people that wanted equity within the company, and they also invested. I had my savings, and we came up with a reasonable number that was comfortable for us. At that moment, it was $30,000, and we did 10 each. And then we just started from there. And it took me some time to save it up. In all honesty, I was very grateful that I had some money saved throughout my college years. And then the rest of it, I went directly to my mom, but did not tell her what the money was for. I just promised her that I was going to give her the money back. So yeah, so basically we started that way. And then as the company grew, we stayed as two business partners. We bought one out, and then I bought the second business partner out. I think it was like 4 years ago. I quickly learned how to pretty much operate and do everything by myself. And it was like, either I buy them out or I create my own company. I think that that's very important to take into consideration, that a partner might seem ideal at the beginning, but you have to understand that with time and as time goes, you start to realize that not everyone's like you. And if you're willing to put like 110,000% of your effort, and then the other person is just doing like 50 or a 60 or whatever, you're just going to feel that you can move on.
I love that you mentioned that you quickly learn how to do things on your own, and then you just ran with it. Tell me a little bit more about the things that you didn't know at the beginning. How did you learn?
An example was my background. I studied in university, strategic communications and history. And I didn't have to study business because I think it's been in my personality. Carlos is my husband's grandfather. He passed away, but he would always tell everyone in the family, like, oh, she's going to be the successful one in the family, because I would always be selling anything to anyone. I have like such a business mind. I can make a business out of, well, I would, when I was younger, my parents can tell you, I made a perfume company. I think I was like 11 years old with the El Palo de Eucalipto. Uh-huh. And gave everyone a rash, but I still sold it and made some profit out of the perfume that I was cultivating in my backyard. So I didn't go to design or fashion schools. You just have to be a person that can recognize talent in other people and find an amazing team. You don't have to do it 100% yourself, that you just have to source the people that can do it and just be a good leader, a strong leader.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
When it comes to finding talent, do you find people through social media? Do you find them through conferences, fashion week, et cetera? How do you go about it?
So a little bit of everything. I have to say, nowadays, the only people that I pay attention to, if they're sending me an email, is if they're pitching me in a very outside the box perspective. I don't care if it seems unprofessional that you send me a WhatsApp, but if you did it in a very creative way, I am going to reply. I'm not going to reply to the traditional email with the CV and the cover letter. Unfortunately, I really need people to get my attention because I have so much on my plate. I say this to my students time and time again when I'm correcting their presentations or their papers or their whatever, their projects. The only projects that I value, are the projects that the person goes out of their way to do research to understand themselves and the consumer, what we're talking about, that really goes outside the box and teletransports me in the project. I feel that I'm immersed in that project. So I feel that going the extra mile, everybody's going to appreciate it. It doesn't matter the industry. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do, but that you care a little bit more than the rest, people appreciate that. And that's something that has really helped me too.
How does your team look like now?
Our factory is in Colombia. So most of our production team is in Colombia. When I went to Colombia, of course, a lot of factories that you're going to work with, they are going to say that they have the best employment pay and that they treat their employees better than the other factories and all of these things. But I understood that it was, but in their reality of it. And that's not my reality of it. I really want to empower women and people that I work with. And I bought my partners out. I took some time to recover from that money that I had to invest in the buyout of the company. But after that, I pitched one of the factory workers and I was like, hey, I think that you should leave to form your own company. I'll help you. And Lagota's your first client. I'll help you get more clients. But let's do this in a different way. Let's have the seamstress work from home. And then this was before the pandemic. So the pandemic was perfect for this because our business model was already designed in this way.
Walk me through a little bit of the strategy that you have for business when it comes to TikTok, for example. I know that you've been super active in that platform lately.
TikTok seems so real to me. I swear not a lot of thought process goes in when I'm posting. And I think that I really learned to love that. I wish that Instagram would work the same way. And I'm now developing a strategy to just make it my own. I really love the nonchalant attitude of just really being raw and giving people that know-how, that day-to-day experience, that part of you that they on Instagram, they couldn't experience.
You mentioned earlier that you wear a lot of hats, of course, entrepreneur, influencer. When it comes to the influencer side of things, what is your number one tip to succeed on TikTok, for example?
I feel the more you and authentic you are, the better. I think that when I took into consideration Valeria as a human, Valeria in when I'm getting dressed, the things that come through my mind, when I'm doing my makeup, my tricks, what actually works for me. Yesterday, I was doing a video for my makeup and I hate using makeup sponges, but that's something that I have in particular. And I always felt I can't share my makeup routine because, you know, I don't use a sponge. Then I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it the way that I do it because that's how I actually do my makeup. And when you understand that your modo operandi and the way you do things is unique. And, you know, when you give value to that, that's when you're going to have, you know.
One thing that we haven't discussed and I want to get to, because I think it was a major moment for your brand, is the collaboration that you had with Victoria's Secret. So tell us a little bit more about how that happened and the business talks that you had to step up for.
So as you know, Lagota is a sustainable swimwear brand, but when Victoria's Secret came around, of course, that's an amazing business opportunity. And of course, Victoria's Secret is a fast fashion company, but I had to process and approach it in a different way. I have to say to myself, and I had to change the narrative and be like, okay, so they're a fast fashion company. Lagota is a sustainable company. They're trying to improve and incorporate these values into their brand identity and into the core of their fashion. So let's take advantage of this opportunity and let's teach them. Let's tell them when they're doing their order, which was an example, instead of ordering 50,000 swimsuits, let's do 10 to start. And of course, that's not good for my pocket, but it was very sustainable for my business. Going back to the out of love decision, stay true to your values. But also, of course, you have to be profitable and you have to have success. And you find a happy medium and a balance within it. That's it doesn't get better than that. Then the second step was like, when these companies come to you, they put a very big order and they don't pay you a dollar until that merchandise is in their warehouse. So the first thing that I had to do was to get some funding because I was going to be strapped cash flow. So I was like, where do I even begin to get the amount of money that I need to go into production? Because of course, La Gota does not produce in the same amounts that Victoria's Secret, even though our order was smaller than other brands that they work with. Getting that money, finding a loan, finding someone that believed in me mm-hmm. and lend me the money. I literally started looking everywhere until I found a credit line with a bank. I put a property that I had and...
Crazy.
And then I guess that at the end of the day, you really have to bet on yourself. No one else is.
Amen.
And when you do, that's when they say, okay, if she's willing to put this property on the line, which is like a lot more than we need to give her. Mm-hmm. I guess that we should believe in her too. Mm-hmm. And now I have a strong relationship with that bank in particular. Then the contract said that if the merchandise was late, we were going to get a fine. And of course, with production, if you're in the fashion industry, everything is late. So we started getting fined. So the money that we were supposed to get paid started going down. And then imagine the stressful situations, lawyers mm-hmm. coming in and talking to the factory not sending the swimsuits, it's not easy. And if you see other people being successful, trust me, it didn't come easy to them. Like mm-hmm. it takes time to learn, to get the rhythm of things, to think outside the box, to apply everything that you have learned, to not get frustrated, and to really, you know, put your mind and spirit in the line in order to further grow.
I know that so many people look at you and they admire and appreciate your personal style. How do you recommend that our listeners go about developing their own style as opposed to following the trends that we see nonstop on social?
It's very easy to get carried away with trends and with social media and with everything that we're bombarded with in a consumer level. Like mm-hmm. we are constantly getting bombarded, and even it's something that I struggle with. My quick advice would be to go fall in love with your wardrobe again, with that style that defines you. Just go back to your style and say, like, do a list. Mm-hmm. I like this. I don't like this. I like patterns. I like black and white. I don't like this. The things that you don't like, don't buy them again.
How do you as a businesswoman go about your finances?
When it comes to my money, I'm very stingy, protective of my money. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to do with the ROI within like the money that you get out of it. It's the use and the purpose that goes with it mm-hmm. as well. You can buy fast fashion, but buy pieces that you're going to wear constantly. I invest in crypto stocks, which, okay, fine. The economy's, I know, terrible right now.
I mean, but it's going down. That's when you need to invest because it's cheap. Yeah, I mean, now, not that it's cheap, but you know, it's on sale now. So. Yeah.
So I've had my investments for a while and I love investing and just understanding that money that you're investing now, you're not going to see the results and the how do you say los frutos right mm-hmm. away, but it's money well spent because in the long run you'll see it increase and be beneficial. So understanding that, and then another tip, it's super simple, but the money that goes into your savings account is dead. It's in mm-hmm. your savings, okay? And then I've made a lot of mistakes with money. That's how you learn. And I've spent it in the incorrect ways. I've also invested it in a very smart way. But it's like with everything, you have to go through it and you have to experience it in order to value it and love it.
Valeria, this has been such a helpful interview for everyone. I want to finish it off how we finish off every interview. And it's that if you could tell your future self one thing, what would that be?
Have patience. Continue working on yourself and the rest will follow. It's all jokes aside, and I know that we like had a lot of fun in the interview, but it's so important to listen to yourself and to do things out of love and not ego. And I think that the more I focus on that, the most successful you'll be.
Beyond your work and your brand, how do you want to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as a very genuine, quirky, funny person. I always tell my husband, don't tell me I'm beautiful, just tell me I'm funny.
Me encanta. Bueno, Valeria, mil gracias.
Gracias a ti. Thank you for having me. You were lovely.
Here are my top takeaways from our conversation. Number one, ask for what you want and you shall receive. The answer will always be no unless you ask. Number two, not all big name opportunities are right for you or your business. Be realistic and don't let the flashiness blur the identity and purpose of your brand. Number three, be bold when reaching out to people you admire and get creative with your initial interaction. That will leave a lasting impression. Thank you so much for listening. Gracias, mi gente. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave us a review. That's so helpful and exciting to us. If you learned something from this episode, share it with a friend. I'm sure they'll enjoy it as well. We drop new episodes every single Monday morning, but you can always find us on Instagram at @eladnpodcast. And before you leave, we want to hear your takeaways from today's guest. Share with us via Instagram stories and don't forget to tag @eladnpodcast and Victoria Leandra for a regram. See you next week. Hasta la próxima, familia.